A few dozen people joined together on the evening of March 1st to remember victims of COVID-19 and share their ongoing concerns about the pandemic. Karen Mackey of the Sioux City Human Rights Commission talked about the impact of the virus on people of color. The
COVID-19 pandemic has caused more than 2 million deaths globally and upended our ways of life. Millions of people face unemployment and homelessness, poverty, and hunger due to the virus. Systemic racism, environmental injustice, economic inequality, ableism, colonialism, and patriarchal attitudes are threat multipliers, worsening the impact of the virus on women, on people with disabilities, on the elderly, on Indigenous communities, on frontline workers, and on Black and brown and immigrant communities. Long-standing systemic health and social inequities have put many people from racial and ethnic minority groups at increased risk of getting sick and of dying from COVID-19. Black and brown people are disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Inequities in the social determinants of health, such as poverty, and health access. Black and brown people are disproportionately affected by COVID-19 inequalities in the social determinants of health, such as poverty and healthcare access, that affect black and brown people, and they're interrelated and influence a wide range of health and quality of life outcomes and risks. As black and brown people, we are more likely to be disproportionately represented in essential work settings, such as healthcare facilities like nursing homes, farms, factories, packing houses, grocery stores, and public transportation. This, combined with health disparities, increases our rate of serious or deathly complications if we contract COVID-19. And because of where we work, we are more likely to be uninsured or to have limited access to health care. Because of the inadequate number of affordable housing options in our community here, and also because of cultural considerations, black and brown people are more likely to live in multi-generational households, which also increases our risk of exposure to COVID-19. Black, brown, and immigrant people are frequently the frontline workers that make sure that we can purchase food and toilet paper, pizza and tacos in the middle of a pandemic, because heaven forbid that we be inconvenienced in any way. We are in the middle of a pandemic that has killed over 500,000 people in our country, but still we expect to be able to get those things when we want them and at a price we can afford. The people that serve as our frontline workers deserve not only a livable wage, but access to COVID-19 so they can live.
Mary Day, a board member of the Mary J. Trelia Community House, also remembered Hong Kuk Thi Nguyen, who passed away in May of last year.
She was one of the first people in our community here to die from COVID. And she was a tremendous leader among all of the Vietnamese communities since they came over in the 70s. And a wonderful woman, so I don't manage to forget who she is.
Carter Smith shared details of a close friend who died of complications of the disease in September.
I am here tonight for my friend Julie Ebel. She had a very similar story to some of the other people. She got sick on a Tuesday, went into the hospital on a Friday afternoon, and was dead by early Saturday morning. She was 44, and This last weekend, I spent my Saturday going through her bedroom with her daughter, packing up her things and deciding what she wanted to keep, what she wanted to donate, and what she couldn't keep. And her 11-year-old son sat in the next room while we did that. And for her story, there are 490,000+ other stories that are in this country alone that have had similar experiences. And I just, as a friend, having the conversation with her daughter about tonight, of my mom was a person and I don't want her to be the holdup of this is what COVID looks like, because she was more than that. And so there are a lot of people in our community and across this country that have suffered quietly because they don't want their family member to be a poster child for a disease. And so my prayer is that everyone out here can support each other in the next few months and the years that this trauma will take to heal. Because there's an 11-year-old that I know that will grow up where his mom will not be at all of his major life events. And that is something that we will carry for the rest of our lives as a family. And I think there's a lot of people out there that every time we take for granted those around us. And so when you go home, I just hope that you all remember to tell the people close to you that you love them and that you care about them. Because as a frontline healthcare worker, I remember the day at work when one of the nurses came back from our COVID unit and she said, "It's here." And she said, "If you love anyone, go home and you tell them that, because this is serious." And the last time I saw Julie was when I was standing out in our parking lot helping with COVID testing. And she drove by and rolled down her window and said out, "Carter, I love you." And that was the last time I saw her. So don't take any of your days for granted. And make sure that you tell everyone close to you how important they are, because you never know what can happen.
Mark Sturgeon lost his mother more than 3 months ago.
She died right before Thanksgiving. We had her services the day after Thanksgiving. She had COVID for 1 week and she had nothing else going on. My adult sister, who lives with her, went back to work today for the first day. She's still on oxygen. COVID is no joke, and we just have to do what we can do to stay healthy until we get the shot and just protect each other.
On the front line of the disease, trying to protect others, Tisha Dumkrieger with an emotional message.
When COVID hit, I was working at a nursing home, and it was so scary going to work every day, worrying about the people that I took care of, the people that I was their family. They didn't have family. And worrying about them and worrying about bringing it home to my family and not having the proper PPE. And then after I lost so many of my work family, I went to the hospital, and I got to the hospital and I had the PPE I needed. And I was so happy. I was like, I'm not worried anymore. And then in January I got COVID. And I was so worried. And I was so struck with my grief, and I was so worried I was gonna give it to my family. But thank God I didn't. Because I quarantined and I stayed away. And nothing ever happened to them. And it's just frustrating. You see people just going out and doing things, and it's so frustrating because you know so many people have died. They could have just wore a mask or not gone out, and it would have saved somebody's life.
And Kemi Brown with a passionate performance for a group united in reflection and resolve.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when we fade.
And I am here as all of you in memory of the over 500,000 people that have lost their lives to COVID-19. This hits home for me, and I'm sure many of you.
I can only imagine.
As my cousin, Chicago police officer Titus Moore, 46 years old, was found dead in his apartment while on medical leave for COVID in Chicago. And I'm going to sing this song in memory of him and all of those who have lost their lives tragically and unnecessarily to this deadly virus.
When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Can you only imagine to be surrounded by your glory? What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence till my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yes, I can only imagine. Thank you.